How can you make infection control sticky at the office level? Welcome to the Becker's Dental and DSO podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Nobilini from ProEdge Dental Water Labs. And today I'm joined by the one and only Kelly Timmis. Kelly is a world-class consultant working alongside some of the largest DSOs in the nation and partnering with them in driving compliance forward. Kelly, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Andrew. I'm excited to be here with you today. This is awesome.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about yourself, the work that you do, the day-to-day, the week-to-week. What are you involved with?
So I am a compliance advisor with SafeLink Consulting, and we partner with dental offices all over the nation to help them create safety policies and procedures, whether that's a large DSO or just a single private practice. We help from the top all the way to working with the individual offices on safety issues.
Yeah, and I think you probably are incredibly close to the pain point that we're going to talk about, which is, and the reason why we're talking about this idea of making infection control sticky, there's a reality just with growth of right, hiring is a challenge for DSOs. We know that. Potentially retention or even turnover, right? Churn rate can be a challenge for growing DSOs. We know that. And so it can be frustrating, and I'm sure you've experienced, so feel free to speak into this a little bit, where you go into an office and train a team or an individual on how to uphold the standard that the DSO has set, and then you come back months later, a year later, and it's like a whole new group of people. And it's like, okay, so now I'm having to retrain, and I'm sure they experience that as well, that cyclical nature of having to constantly feel like they're retraining their team. Is that something that is kind of close to home there, and you feel that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and that can be frustrating, right? Because there's just a lot of turnover. There's a staff shortage right now, especially in the dental industry. And so, that's definitely something that we see. But we never want that to be an excuse for safety to take a back seat, because that's just not, it's just not okay. We have to come up with ways to make sure that everybody that comes into our practice to work, whether they're a temp, whether they've been there a while, they understand our policies, our procedures, and that they're trained. They deserve that. And they need to know that. And so by really investing in this infection control coordinator is going to make a huge difference across the board.
Yeah, I love it. You gave just a sneak peek right here, which is, that is it. That's the nugget. How can you make infection control sticky at the office level? We believe it is having someone called an infection control coordinator. This is not a new hire. This is taking a team member that you already have and giving them really pinpointed responsibilities to elevate their own worth and value to the company, right? I think we've seen people who take on the responsibilities as infection control coordinators. They're more satisfied in their job. They feel like they're contributing more to the team, which we'll get to in a second. But I want to take just a quick step back, and Kelly, I want you to kind of bring us back here, which is, what is an infection control coordinator? If that's the thing, if that's really the thing that's going to make infection control and prevention sticky at the office level, I want to know about it. Tell me, what is that? Who is that person? What are they doing?
Yeah, so an infection control coordinator or infection prevention coordinator is what the CDC calls them, is that person that's really going to take this on as their baby. They're going to look at your overall procedures, policies, and they're going to put into place for their office by creating simple policies, procedures, developing in them, and then training the team on not only what to do, but why it's so important to follow these policies and procedures that are in place. And it's not really just assigning someone to do it, because this is a huge role, but it's really investing in that person and just knowing, hey, they're taking on an additional role on top of what they're already doing, but we're going to invest in them, because I think you're going to see a huge return on investment by investing in that person to better help the team.
Yeah, something that we've seen, right, is when you don't have that individual, not always, but you have this kind of bystander effect where everyone's kind of pointing the finger of who's doing safety, right? Well, I think they're doing it, and that person's like, well, I'm not really doing it. I think this person's doing it. And there's not that designated individual that's saying, I'm doing it. I'm going to own it. And then to your point, and something that we'll explore a little bit here, is that team, bringing the team in to understanding why this is important, creates such a meaningful culture shift, mm-hmm. right? Because I think one of the things, gosh, there's so much we can talk about here. I think one of the things that we've seen is usually, not always, usually the infection control coordinator responsibilities goes to a dental assistant, right? Who is usually the one that's doing infection control anyway at the office level. And so they get that kind of new sense, that newfound responsibility given to them by the DSO and the compliance manager to really enact those things. That really cultivates a sense of like, wow, this is great. This is my responsibility. This is something that I can really contribute to the team. And then that gives them a launching point for them to kind of bring the team in and make it more of a celebratory culture related thing where it's like, this isn't just so-and-so's whoever's job, right? Everyone points the finger. This is this person and they're helping us be a better team. They're helping us be a safer environment. What are some of the things that you've seen when you've stepped into offices and there is an infection control coordinator? What's the team dynamic like? How do they feel about their job? What just like that at that office level, what does that environment feel like?
You said something that I wanted to kind of touch on is that you want to have an infection control coordinator for sure, but it's never just their job. Mm. It's their job to really teach the team on why, but it's everyone's job to play a part when it comes to safety. Because there can be policies and procedures and clear defined SOPs in place, but without everybody participating and everybody knowing those, then it's going to be really frustrating for that infection control coordinator because they can have the best policies, they can really do all the best training, but if everyone's not playing a part, they're going to get frustrated and that might be why they're leaving. But if they're really investing and everyone is seeing the goal and the reason behind everything, it's going to build that team. It's going to make such a strong team because everyone is on the same page and they don't have to worry about like, oh, well, so-and-so does this and so does that. No, we all do this for a reason because we care about each other. We want to lift each other up. We want to protect each other. We worked hard to get here and we want to stay here.
Mm. And it's amazing. There's so much data out there, listener, if you wanted to tap into this. We've done our own even internal research with some of our dental assistants where we ask them not about not just job satisfaction, but do they feel connected or do they feel lonely? Do they feel like they're out kind of on an island doing their own thing and the other team is kind of living in it? You'd be genuinely surprised how many people feel dental assistants feel dissatisfied or feel like they're not making an impact or they're lonely in their own job. And I think this particular responsibility really begins to bridge the gap for that team, for them to really feel like they're contributing in a bigger way. And to your point, you're right. This is all of us. We all need to play a part in making a safer patient experience, making a safer office environment. And I think that cultivates a really unique team dynamic, which has so much profound implications at the DSO level, right? To your point, there's a way higher retention rate, right? They're more satisfied. They're going to stay in their role longer. You don't have to constantly rehire and retrain. That's a cost savings. You begin to establish a credibility organizational wide where people start to show up at different offices and have the exact same experience of like, wow, they care about each other. They're upholding a culture of safety that's more than I've ever experienced. Patients walk in, and you've seen both sides of this, no doubt, Kelly, where you've walked in and you said, I would never go to this office ever again. And you've walked in and said, they are doing something right. Mm-hmm. And how powerful of an experience that is when you have that like environment people walk into and say, I want to come back to this place. So now you have higher patient retention. And I don't want to make, you know, infection control coordinator feel like it's the missing thing that'll solve every DSO's problems. But I do think, and I think you've seen this, so feel free to speak more to this, you have seen an infection control coordinator contribute to all of those things because of the impact they have at the office level.
100%. You know, and you'll see a lot of times you'll maybe go back to that office and the only person that is, people got other jobs, but that infection control coordinator is still there and they still have so much passion about what they do. And patients feel it. And you can look at their reviews on Google or Facebook, whatever, and they see patients are feeling safe. They're coming in. Even if there's a total different staff, if they feel like, hey, this is a clean and safe environment, I'm going to tell my friends about this. And I feel okay with this because I feel like I'm taken care of and that everybody cares. And that has a lot to do with the infection control coordinator, just a lot, but really bringing that team together.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to really make it super practical for those listening that is kind of in the compliance space, will be dealing with this, right? And you're hearing about the infection control coordinator and you're thinking, okay, well, how do I realistically do that? Is this actually scalable? I know from Kelly's experience, it absolutely is, right? Kelly works with some of the largest DSOs in the nation, and she also works with groups of a couple dozen, right? So she's seen the opportunity of this to be scalable. So I want to kind of turn over to Kelly and give you some, hopefully some helpful next steps for you. If you are interested in making infection control sticky, and this kind of piqued your interest in like, what would an infection control coordinator look like for me to begin building out in my organization? Kelly, how can they do that really well? Like practically, what's their next step?
Yeah, so I think from kind of looking at the top down, I think consistency is going to be key. And so having that broad safety manual, that broad policies, procedures across the board. But then you're going to kind of pass those down, whether it's the regionals and then the even further down into the office manager, whatever that's going to be. And then you're going to really invest in those infection control coordinators, because a lot of people won't even take on that job because they know it's a harder role and they're not feeling maybe empowered. So really investing in them, empowering them. I would even have like a network where they can talk to other infection control coordinators throughout your organization to where they can feel like, hey, I'm important, or I'm going to roll some ideas off of this person. They seem like they've got it down in this area. I feel like I'm lacking. What can I do? And so they have that support network and they just feel supported on every level, and that they're making a difference, because they are. But it really starts with having that consistent policy across the board, passing it down, and just so then the infection control coordinator at the office doesn't have to come up with a whole policy for your organization. That's at the top. That's your job. But it's their job to really fine tune it to the policies and procedures, the equipment, the products, whatever they're doing at the office.
And one of the things, I think the side benefits of that, which we alluded to, right, is if they ever did move out or move up or move around, they've, because of their focus, because of their intentionality, they've built those things in place at the office level so that the new person coming in isn't having to start straight from ground zero, right? They have all of these things at their disposal to really dive into and learn, which I think really helps with just onboarding somebody effectively and mitigating that season of risk where they're like trying to figure out safety once again, right? It's already there. And to your point, that I see that infection control coordinator making a team effort, mm-hmm. now the team can step up, right?
Absolutely.
If they ever move out, yeah. or they move around, it's like the team can step up while this poor person is onboarding, which I think has huge impact.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And just having those simple one page, hey, this is how we do things. Yeah, if they move on, or if someone, they can grab that one pager and they know how to do that procedure. Maybe they don't do it all the time, but they know how because they've been trained and they have those notes, that steps there to help them. And even just onboarding new people, maybe it's a hygienist or a licensed assistant. Even though they're licensed, doesn't mean they know the processes at your office. And it's not fair to not train them. They deserve to be trained, because we want to make sure everything is done the correct way.
And listener, you have awesome resources. You aren't alone, right? You are not alone in this. You have people who, this is their job, right? It's Kelly's job to make sure that these things are scalable and effective and repeatable at your organization's level, all the way down to the office level. And so Kelly is an incredible resource for you if that is also something you're interested in. Kelly, tell us a little bit about SafeLink. I know we alluded to it at the beginning in the intro, but how can the listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah, so you can reach out to us anytime. What I really think sets SafeLink apart from other consulting agencies is we work in all 50 states. So we're nationwide. We know the intricacies of state OSHA plans versus federal versus each state dental practice act, what public health wants to know. And so we can be that third party to really help you with that overall plan. And we can also work with you at the office level to make sure that those one-page policies or procedures are being written, are being helped. We can be that partner to really walk alongside your whole compliance team or at the office level. But yeah, you can reach out to safelinkconsulting.com, or my email is just kelly@safelinkconsulting.com.
Awesome. Kelly, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. All right. Our hope is that you were able to take away one or two nuggets of information that you can use in your organization to really elevate not just that team dynamic at the office level, but really cement infection control and safety all across your organization because you have that individual advocating for it at that office level. Again, you have an incredible resources like Kelly. You have incredible resources like ProEdge. We deal specifically with water lines, water line compliance, water line safety, and water line solutions. If that's an area that you are struggling with or your organization is really struggling to do well, please reach out to us. We have unbelievable staff ready to partner with you in making that simple, making that repeatable, making that scalable for you. And we partner with you every step of the way, just like SafeLink does, to make sure your team feels equipped and resourced to do that well. You can reach us at proedgetown.com. You can also call 888-843-3343. Again, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. We hope this was valuable to you. We hope you walked away understanding maybe something you can do to elevate your organization even more and create a safer environment for both your team and your patients. Thank you for all that you do to help keep patients safe. Take care, everyone.